Amen. And so let's read in 1 Samuel. Like I said, we got a little bit of reading. I think it's going to be okay. Okay. It's all right, Cindy. I got it right here pulled up. 1 Samuel 30, 1 through 8. Listen to this. It says, and I'll give you context after I read. It says, now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites, who were an enemy, had invaded the south at Ziklag and attacked Ziklag, burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone. Getting excited, y'all, my bad. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. We're going to go back to that. Verse 3 says, so David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire. It was destroyed. And their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Verse 4 says, then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until there was no more power to weep. You ever cry so hard there was no more power? The only thing I can remember, Mama Jo, is when my mom and dad used to spank me. It used to be some of the best sleep after you got, oh, you'd be asleep for 2 days after you get. Power. They wept so hard, it was just a real good sleep after that, I guess. They had no more power to weep. Verse 5 says, and David's two wives, I'm not even going to attempt these names, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Verse 6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people, this is his own people, listen, the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved. Every man for his sons and his daughters. They lost everything. Listen to this. Grab hold to this right here. But David strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. Can I just give you a real quick point right there? Sometimes you gotta go for yourself. You can wait for people to get it, but sometimes you gotta get in that closet and go for yourself. David's own men turned on him and were talking about stoning him. And so David wasn't really wasting time trying to prove to them and say this. He said, no, I got to get to myself. Strengthen myself in the Lord. Amen, somebody. Woo! You got to go for yourself. Verse 7, then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David, verse 8. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? David didn't just take it upon himself to start. Oh, it's up there? Amen. David didn't just take it upon himself to go do the work of the Lord. He didn't just take it upon himself to go take on opportunity or whatever. He inquired of the Lord. He said, shall I do this? Because one thing about it, if the Lord sends you, you're guaranteed victory. Oh, my God. If the Lord puts it together, jobs, marriages, family, opportunity, if the Lord put it together, now, if you did it, I don't know. The mercy of God, hopefully, you know. But if the Lord put it together, listen to this. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, this is the Lord saying, pursue. Somebody shout, pursue. For you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover absolutely everything. Every single thing, verse 19 for me, every single thing the enemy has stolen from you, not only are you going to get a little bit back, Steph, not just a little bit back, everything he stole, the Lord said, you're going to recover, but not just a piece. You're going to recover all. Every attack on the marriage, every attack on the finances, every attack on your body, every attack on your children, come on in here. God said, every attack, my God, you're going to recover everything that the enemy stole. Hallelujah. 19 for me, Cindy, my bad. I'm sorry. I may have said 9. And then we're going to pray. Bless you, Lord Jesus. Somebody say, all. You're going to recover all. Everything. Everything. That's what season we are in. That you're getting it back. You lost your joy, but you're getting it back. Yeah. Yeah, you kind of lost your I don't really have the motivation. Oh, no, you're going to get it back. I'll read it from up here. Verse 19 says this. And nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything, which they had taken from them. The last piece says, David recovered all. Father, we thank you. We bless you. Give you glory and honor. We thank you for your spirit being in this place. Open our hearts so that we can hear from you today. We give you all glory and honor, God. We bless you right now. We thank you for breakthrough that's going to ring out in this place. We thank you for freedom, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for the ones that we have on our heart that aren't here. They're being set free in the name of Jesus. Oh, we give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name, we all say it. Amen, amen, amen. Bless you. We give you glory. Hallelujah. Is anybody in here ready to recover everything that you lost? If that's you, go ahead and put that hand up. Give God a shout. Well, yeah. My God, we give you glory. I want to show you something. Let's go back to verse 8 for me. And we're going to go through this, and we're going to talk about some of the strategies of recovering. Some of the things I want to kind of pull out the scripture that's going to bless you as we equip ourselves with these things. So basically what was going on here was, let me see how much I want to share right now. Basically what was going on here with David, David was running from Saul. He had partnered with a Philistine king that was his enemy. He partnered with him because he was running from his own king. Saul was the king of the Israelites, and Saul was trying to kill David. So because Saul was trying to kill David, David said, I'm going to go on my enemy's turf, and I'm going to be cool with them. We done did it in high school before. Don't worry about it. And so here David is. He went to the king of the Philistines, and the king gave him land. The king gave him this land and said, you can stay here. David ended up staying there for so long. And how many of you know that the Philistine army were enemies to God? And so because they were enemies to God, David didn't see the same favor that he was seeing in his life, right? And so what ended up happening was there were many attacks, many battles that David didn't have to fight, and we're going to get into it just a little bit later. But this one particular fight was David, who was at Ziklag, which is the enemy's territory that the king gave to him, said, you can stay here with all your 600 men. You guys can stay here. That area was attacked by the Amalekites. And so what we see is, and I'm going to go to it real quick. We don't have to turn here. I just want to reference this real quick. It says, verse 2 says, Ziklag was burned with fire and had taken captive the women and those that were there, small and great. So when this area got attacked, David and all his 600 men, their wives, their children were taken captive. Let me tell you what a blessing that is. And I know that sounds crazy, but listen to this. Taken captive means they weren't dead. Woo. Taken captive means they weren't dead. The reason why that's such a blessing is because if they're still alive, I can get them back. Can I tell you that your dreams aren't dead? They may have been taken captive. That your joy isn't dead. May have just been taken captive. The enemy may have tried to take it, but he didn't kill it. Amen. And if it's not dead, it's coming back. Amen, somebody in here. Hallelujah. Come on, give God a shout for that. If it's not dead, it's coming back. Yeah, it was taken captive, but he ain't kill him. How many know the enemy can't kill the promise of God? He can try to frustrate it on your life. He can't kill it. Hallelujah. But listen to this. It says, so David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue? Shall I overtake? And the Lord answered him, said this. He said, pursue. You shall surely overtake and recover all. There were two for sure promises that were going to happen. One was you will overtake, which means you'll get the victory. The second one's you'll recover, which means you'll get the blessing. The only decision that God left up to David is, will he pursue? See, the promise wasn't pursue. He said, pursue, and you will surely overtake. You will surely recover. But it's up to you whether you're pursuing or not. Can I tell you that if you want to see victory in your life, if you want to see blessing in your life, the only thing you have to do is pursue? There has to be a direction. You see, what the Lord was telling David was pursue the Amalekites, and I'm promising you victory and blessing. See, we don't have to pursue Amalekites. I don't think there are any more Amalekites. But for us, we are to pursue the Lord of glory. All the Lord is telling you is pursue me. And the promise is if you pursue, you're going to get victory and blessing. Amen, somebody. I don't know what area you need victory in your life, but all the Lord is saying is pursue and you will surely overtake. How many people got areas you need to overcome in your life? All the Lord is saying is pursue me. Come into communion with me. Come into relationship with me. All you have to do is pursue. And I'll take care of the rest. Amen, somebody in here. We love you, Father. So here's the question. No one has to answer, but just think about it. Are you pursuing? Are you pursuing him? Are we demanding blessing and victory without pursuit? Pursue me, and I promise the rest. Amen? It's all over the scripture. We can go there real quick. Jeremiah 29 and 13, we see this is what the Lord is saying all throughout the scripture. If you're taking notes, you can write it down. It says, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. See, it's really all about pursuing him. It's not about pursuing success. It's not about pursuing your enemies and, oh, I'm going to show y'all. No. You pursue him. And the promise is everything else will be taken care of. Can I show you another place in the scripture? Matthew 6 and 33. We kind of know it well. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. And everything else, surely. You seek, and everything else will be added. Amen. Somebody up in here. Bless your name. I want to read one more to you. Psalms 27 and 8. It says, when you said, seek my face, this is David talking to the Lord. David said, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, will I seek. See, I love the fact that David said in Psalms 27, my heart said to you, which means it was in him. It wasn't enough for David to just come to church. It wasn't enough to just kind of, you know, put scriptures on Facebook every now and then. Right? But it was in him to find out the will of God. Hallelujah, somebody in here. And God's promise where we get our rest from is that you don't have to be anxious with all the things the enemy are putting in your face. Man, I'm wrestling with addiction. I'm wrestling with things in my relationship being pulled apart and things in my body breaking down. God said, you don't have to pursue any of it. Seek me and release me onto those things. I promise you, you'll get victory and you will recover everything. That's blessing. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So a good note is pursuing guarantees the promise. Pursuing guarantees the promise. Before I want to get into David and how he recovered, we're going to really break that down. I really want to show you what David was kind of struggling with by taking us back to Adam in Genesis. All right, so let's go to Genesis. Bless you, Jesus. Let's start at verse 3, or excuse me, chapter 3. Oh, yes. Anybody ready to recover? How many know it's going to take you? Got quiet right there, Chuck. You see that? I play a part in that? I don't want to do that thing. Yes, Lord Jesus. Bless your name. Let me get to my favorite part real quick here. Bless you, Jesus. Yes, so verse 7. Genesis 3 and 7. Let me kind of get y'all on what's going on. Ooh, we love you, Jesus. So you know the story of Adam and Eve. If you don't, it's been on every cartoon and all that kind of stuff. But just in case you don't know, the Lord had an idea to make this species called man. This was going to be different because he was going to make man in his own image and likeness. And man was going to walk in an authority that was similar to the authority of the Lord, right? He was going to be able to speak and things were, right? It's kind of what he did with the animals. Like, he just said it, and from now on, that's what it is. Amen? And so they enjoyed fellowship. The Bible isn't clear on how long this fellowship lasted, but what it does say is that God made man and he made woman, be fruitful and multiply. It's its own story. I want to get to the part where the serpent came in. Yeah, notice he always come in when the Lord trying to set you up. Is that anybody but this one right here? Anytime God is doing something, here come that snake coming on in. Amen. And it may not be a person. It may be desires in you trying to raise back up. Okay, we're not being that honest today. Okay, hold up. So what ended up happening was this. The serpent came, and his job was to just cause doubt in what God has said. You know, and he came to Eve, and he said, you know, what's all this stuff the Lord is telling you about? What, you tell me what he said. And she was like, we can't eat this fruit right here. We can't touch it and all this kind of stuff. She was kind of adding a little bit to it. And he said, and she said, because we'll surely die. The serpent said, he said that, but I tell you, God be tripping, boy. You're not going to surely die. The thing is, he knows that the day you eat it, you know, you're going to be just like him with wisdom and all this other kind of stuff. And so the dangerous part about that, I'm going to make a few pauses real quick, but I want to get this out. The dangerous part about that is the Bible says that after she heard from the serpent, she looked at the fruit. And she seen that the fruit, it made sense. Can I tell you, one of the most dangerous things in the time that we're in right now is we think it's okay as long as it makes sense. As long as you can make it make sense to me, I think it's okay. I mean, you people should be able to do that. I mean, that makes sense. Me and my wife have had conversations about things that we know wasn't of the Lord, but we was like, that kind of makes sense, though. Ooh. Right? And so one of the first places where Eve kind of messed up was that she didn't just take the Lord at his word. Lord, whether it makes sense or not, if you said it's wrong, that's going to help a lot of us in here today. I'm not trying to ask my cousins. I'm not trying to see what Instagram is saying. I'm not trying to Google it. God, if you said it's wrong. Because what got her is she looked at it and it said it was desirable. It made sense to her eyes. I could just go so many places that we ain't going there today. Let me tell you that if God says it's wrong, it's wrong. It's wrong. Bless your name, Jesus. And so What happens is at that point, she eats the fruit because it looked right. It made sense. She eats it. She gives it to Adam. He eats it. The Bible says then, this is the part that I want to get to, in verse 7, it says that they eat the fruit. Their eyes are opened. All of a sudden, they see their nakedness. Shame comes in. 3 and 7, Cindy, when you get it. It's okay. So they see their nakedness, they're ashamed, and then they took it into their own hands. Woo, listen to this. At that moment, their eyes were open, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. I love how the New King James says it. This is what I want to get y'all to. It said, they made coverings for themselves. They covered themselves. I did something wrong. Something happened in my life, but I got it covered. Whoa. Oh, am I talking to y'all before I even say anything? Lord Jesus. When something happened, they knew how to take care of it. When I get lonely, oh, we're going to be honest in here. It's okay. If y'all do old school church and put one finger up and walk out, I won't be mad at you. But that finger better be up. I don't know what that finger meant, though. You get up and you... Like the usher is checking your finger. Oh, okay, okay. He got the finger up. He's okay. Oh, man. New King James Version says it like this. It says, they made themselves coverings. They made themselves coverings. And I don't know if you've ever in your life, I know for me, I for sure have, when something went wrong, you covered yourself. Adam and Eve used fig leaves. Some of us may have used alcohol. Because something happened to you, and you covered yourself. For some of us, because of the violation in our life or what happened or because somebody died, that was an infiltration and the enemy seemed it as an opportunity, and I haven't stopped using drugs since then. I covered myself. I covered myself. We have some powerful testimonies in here, and I know it spoke to certain people what we were talking about that Michelle shared and Mama Joe shared, but for some of us, because we don't know him, when we were violated, we tried to take care of it ourselves. Oh. Does anybody have just a fig leaf testimony where you did it yourself? You covered yourself. Hey, oh, come on in here. And if you're not careful, what people will do is try to take the fig leaves from you, especially in church. It's not good. They'll try to take the fig leaves from you when what they really need to minister to is why you put them there in the first place. You know you ain't supposed to be wearing those fig leaves. You ain't supposed to be smoking that, drinking that. You're not supposed to be doing that. No, no, no. How about you go just a little bit deeper and see where it started? Bless you, Jesus. Mm. Oh, we're getting free in here today, y'all. I'm telling you. I want to come against the shame that comes about because we had to get fig leaves in our life. Had to get ourselves together, you know, because I was lonely and you don't know my whole story and this and that. See, that's why I start logging on to www. And I watch this and I know I'm not supposed to be looking at it, but I wrestle with anxiety and loneliness and I can't share this nobody because it's embarrassing. But this is my fig leaf. Oh, yeah. You don't have to get quiet in here. Come on. I'll talk about myself. Don't worry about it. I ain't going to talk about y'all. But because of their nakedness, oh, Jesus, they tried to cover themselves. Has anybody ever covered yourself?
Yes.
Okay, amen. Let's read and see what happens. I want to show you something that's incredibly interesting. Look at this. Is this blessing anybody?
Yes.
Verse 8 says, watch this. Verse 8 says, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. How many know when you try to fix it yourself, you're still hiding? Listen to this, though. Verse 9 says, then the Lord God called to Adam and said, where are you? Verse 10, this is incredible to me. Verse 10 says, so he said, this is Adam, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. Wait a minute. You're not naked. You got fig leaves on. So you were naked. You fell. And then you put fig. So why would you tell the Lord that you're naked when you covered? Oh, my God. Here's the answer. When he went to the Lord, he says, I was afraid because I was naked. Let me tell you why. It's because my covering still doesn't fix the issue. Woo-hoo-hoo. If you didn't have any joy after alcohol, you still won't have any. Come on in here. If you didn't have any peace after that relationship, you still won't have any peace. If you didn't have any happiness after the drugs, you still won't have any happiness. He said to the Lord, even though I'm covered on the outside, I'm still lost on the inside. Oh, even though I'm covered on the outside, I'm still bound on the inside. My God. Yeah, I may look free, but I'm not covered. I'm naked. Come on. I may look like I have joy, but I'm still bound on the inside. I may look covered, but I'm naked still. He came to God and said, I hid because I was naked. Even though you covered yourself, you still feel uncovered. Can we just be honest in here? Don't raise your hand, but for all of us that are still struggling in the area, you still feel like you're missing something. You and me, Duane, we raise our hand. You still feel like there's something missing, even though you're covered with fig leaves.
Oh, my God.
We're going to get free today, y'all. Beautiful, beautiful revelation in the scripture. Watch this. Mm-mm-mm. Y'all okay? So here he is, and he says, man, I hid myself because I was naked. And it to me is just, it's incredible that somewhere along the line, it became enough for us to look the part. Fig leaves. It became enough to look the part. See, Adam looked the part, but he didn't even believe it. He said, I'm naked. He didn't even say, yeah, I got some fig leaves. I know it doesn't really do the trick, but I just tried something. No, he said, I'm naked. I still need something else. Wow, Lord. I'm still missing something. Can I tell you, if God isn't your covering, you're still missing something. There's no judgment. I'm not judging in any area because we all have them. We all have fig leaves. Amen. But if it isn't God, nobody has to tell you. You know you're still missing something. Adam said he was naked. Oh, we love you. Okay. We bless you. Y'all remember the title of this message? Recover. Oh, Mama Barb said. Somebody say recover.
Recover.
Can you just say it one more time for me? Recover.
Recover.
If we're consistent with the way we've been kind of breaking down words as compound words, recover, prefix re means once more and again. So what the Lord was saying to Adam and Eve, we'll see it in the scripture, is that you covered yourself, but I'm about to cover you again. Y'all want to see it? Let's go to it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's go to verse 21. Verse 21 says, now this is after the Lord says, because you did this, all these things are going to happen. Got to get you out of the garden. It's not really a punishment. It's really to protect you so that sin doesn't live eternally. So he got him out of the garden. All these things happen. And then he comes to verse 21, and it says somehow, it says, also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Now, they already have fig leaves, but we all know the fig leaves ain't working for you. So the thing about God that I want us to receive today is that when we think about recovery, we think about David reclaiming. But in some areas of our life, what God is saying is, I want to replace your covering with my own. Yeah, I'm about to recover you. I want to replace what you think you're doing with drugs with my spirit. I want to replace what you think you're doing with that alcoholism with me. I want to replace that toxic relationship with a real relationship. I want to recover you. Oh, my God. Thank you, Lord. It's a blessing of the Lord. One thing we know is that this is a foreshadowing of God's ultimate plan, because he made skins of tunic, which means something had to die to get skin. Something had to die for you to be covered. You see, with the fig leaves, In Hebrews 9 and 22, I believe it says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, there's no forgiveness. We're still very heavily sin conscious, which means I can cover myself with fig leaves and still think that I'm naked. But with blood. See, when the Lord removed our sins with the blood of his son, not only are we justified visibly, but we're fully justified in our minds. Oh, my God. Is anybody free in your mind now? I'm not looking free. I am free. Oh, my God. I don't look happy. No, I'm really happy. I got joy. I got the joy of the Lord in me. My God. Hallelujah. I'm not trying to look like a son. I'm a son of the Most High. I'm a daughter of the Most High God. It's in me now. And so what happened was, I'm just trying to encourage you in the fact that the Lord is wanting to recover you. I want to replace what you're doing. I want to replace that struggle or that vice. But I'm not going to take it from you. You got to give it to me. Hallelujah. I know it worked for a season, but I want to recover you. Well, I just started smoking and then this and it kind of got me over. Yeah. I want to replace that smoking with real peace. Come on in here, somebody. I want to replace it with the real thing. I want to recover you. All of us are guilty of falling into a thing and then trying to cover ourselves. And not only do you not believe the covering, can I tell you the truth? People don't really be buying into what you're doing. We be seeing, can I give you an example? So, years ago, many years ago, when I had hair on my head, Jasmine, I ran into a dilemma. I noticed it was a little more thin up there than I'd like. And Stephen, that's why you need to be thankful with that beautiful head of hair. Gino, you be thankful. Brent, you beautiful man, you. Ugh. So what happened was, like, I noticed, I said, wait a minute, hold on, y'all. And so once I seen something was happening, y'all, I tried to start cutting my hair net, like, in a way where it was kind of covering the issue. But just like Adam, I ain't really believe it myself. But what I noticed was when people talk to me, they'd be like, hey, what's up? Hey, Ben, man, we just going to hit him. Because it's hard to stop looking at it. You trying to pull it down? It's like they were scared of him. And I seen them see it, though. I'm like, I just want the fig leaves to work, y'all. I'm just trying to fig leaf myself. But it didn't work for me. It didn't work for anybody else. And some of us fall into the deception of thinking that man-made covering you're doing to get yourself through the night, the covering you're doing when you're lonely or when you're angry, you think that it's doing something for people. When people, without being judgmental, we see it. And how many of you ever known, have you ever been in a position where you seen them see it? Y'all mind if I use bad grammar? You seen them see it? You can tell, people can kind of tell. Amen. And so what the Lord is wanting, I want to recover you. Give me those areas that you're struggling with. Let me replace them with a real covering that won't just minister to your exterior, but you'll have a whole mind transformation. You don't have to look free. You don't have to look like you have hair, Ben. Come on in here. You don't have to look a certain way. It will be who you are. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. I don't have to be tasked with trying to look a certain way. Has anybody been struggling with anything in your life and you were trying to look like you weren't? You know how much pressure and how much it just gets on you to try to look like you're doing something that you're really not doing? You're trying to fake it. Anybody ever faked it before? Come on, that's right. That's hilarious, by the way, Nancy, but that's real. And so the Lord wants different for us. Amen. Bless you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And so what we see with David, it's kind of crazy because it's the same exact thing that was happening with Adam. Because before all this happened in 1 Samuel 30, David tried to cover himself. And so he was with Saul, and when he was with Saul, he, instead of trusting God that God was going to protect him, he ran from Saul twice. The first time he ran, he went to King Ahash. And when he goes to the king the first time, he was afraid of the king. And they were trying to say, David is this person. And that's the part of scripture where he acted like a madman. And, you know, he was just trying to be someone he wasn't. And he fled. Then he comes back to the king. Let me tell you this. The reason why any area of your life that there may be a struggle that you have to completely abandon is because after the first time, it's easier the second time. He went to the king the first time, and then the moment he felt fear again, he went back to that vice. Amen. The more we don't use God as a resource, the easier it is to go back to the vice. Am I talking to anybody in here? Amen. Hallelujah. And so where we're picking up at is if we can go back to 1 Samuel 30. Somebody say recover. Thank you, Jesus. I love your word, Lord God. Verse 7, watch this, and we're going to pray in 1 second. Verse 7 says, Chuck, come here for me real quick. Verse 7 says, then David said to Abithar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here. Somebody say ephod. Ephod. So what happened with David was the first two times, when he was in trouble, he ran. This last time, the Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. And him running is a sense him trying to cover himself, right? There's no judgment, but you're trying to take care of yourself. But this very last time, what we see with the ephod is a priestly garment. You can read about it in Exodus 28. Basically, the Lord told Moses to get Aaron and to create an ephod, which is like an apron that they would wear when they're praying to the Lord. Some commentary said that the apron was used to kind of catch some of the blood that they would sacrifice, but mainly it was what they would wear to cover themselves so that they can connect with God. Amen. So all of a sudden, here he is. Instead of running, instead of going with his own vice, he recovers himself. The first covering was the running, but this time he says, man, I'm going to do it God's way. Is there anybody in here where you're at a point in your life where you're like, now I'm about to do it? Everything else has failed me. Come on in here, y'all. Let's be honest. I'm going to do it God's way. So he puts the ephod on. That was symbolic of him saying, man, I'm going to do what I know to do. This ephod represented the same priest, like I said, and he's worn it before, but now I'm going to connect with the Lord. And then from that place, thank you, Jesus. Somebody say he recovered. And so when he put the ephod on, that's where we pick up in scripture where it says, now the Lord spoke to him and said, pursue, cover, you shall overtake, and you shall recover all. Let me tell you this. The only way that you're really going to recover everything is if you recover. The only way you're really going to recover is if you recover. You're not going to do it your way, y'all. The only way I'm really going to get my joy back is if I recover. And I get rid of these fig leaves that don't work and nobody falls for. It's in my car. It's in my trunk. And come back real quick for me. I'm going to show y'all. But today is the day. Listen to me. Today is the day that you recover so that you can recover. How do I get those things back that I feel like I lost? Man, I got to take off the fig leaves, my God. I got to stop trying to use my own way and whatever I use to get through. Give it up. So that God can recover me. Oh, am I talking to anybody in here? Yeah, yeah. And so the way you're going to recover in your relationships is if you recover. The way you're going to recover your joy is if you recover. I have to put on what God has for me. I have to give it all to him. Amen, somebody in here. Hallelujah. I have to recover. Somebody say recover. And so what Chuck is bringing in is, it's his blanket, right? Ronnie, run up here for me. I'm going to show you. You guys stand on opposite ends. Hold the blanket out. Yep. And so when God covers you, just like that, when God covers you, how many of you know that when depression is looking for you, the Bible says, in the time of trouble, he shall hide me. When I'm covered by God, when my old man is looking for me, when the enemy is looking for me, trying to call me by my old name, when God is covering me and I'm not trying to cover myself, he can't find me. When the enemy looks for me and my mistakes and my failures, all he sees is the blood of Jesus. He can't find me. In the time of trouble, you shall hide me. Can I tell you what this means? Can I be honest with y'all? Behind this blanket, behind this covering, I'm still not perfect, but you can't see my mistakes. I'm still being developed, but you see the glory of God. I'm still being delivered, but you see the righteousness of God. Because I'm covered. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Let's pray. And I want to pray for those who are ready to be recovered today. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Recover, 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 recover. In the name of Jesus, we bless you. Yeah. I want to tell you that the Lord wants to cover you, but it's not a fig leaf covering, because the fig leaf is so stressful because we still see you. Amen. And you still see yourself, right? But when I'm covered by the Lord, man, how many of you know that if you were to give your testimony, your real testimony, people will look at you like, I never seen that on you. Have you ever heard that? It's because you were covered. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Yeah, come on. Divine, preach it to me. It's because you were covered. Somebody say, recover. That means you're admitting that I had a cover, but I'm about to give up my cover for his cover. Oh, Lord. Yeah. Now is the time. Right now is the moment that you allow God to simply cover you. And I don't want to cover the areas that is just like, okay, God, we're here. No, I want the areas that you think you have together. Every shame, every guilt, every struggle, every vice, the Lord is ready to completely cover you. Any believers in here that you can, you're a testament to say that, yeah, I'm covered, but I'm still being developed behind. Come on, somebody in here. I'm not perfect. Let me admit it to you. There's still things going on, but God has covered me. When the enemy comes to look for me, when anxiety comes to look for me, it can't find me. See, when I was younger, I struggled with suicide, and suicide tries to look for me, but it can't find me nowhere. It's looking, but it can't find me nowhere because I'm hidden. I'm in the secret place of the Most High. So I want to pray with you now. Hallelujah. I encourage you that if you know you need to be recovered, pursue now. Let me pray with you. Come forward. Let's pray. Hallelujah. If that's you, we want to pray with you. Oh, now is the time for God to completely recover. But let me tell you what it means. It means I'm giving up my covering for His. However you got through, oh, I'm giving that up in Jesus' name. And I'm telling you, by faith, we will not see the old person ever again. We will not see that anxiety ever again. We won't see that fear ever again. If you're in here, can you pray with me? We're going to pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's just begin to raise that expectation in here. I just cast down guilt and shame right now. Oh, that tries to make us think like we're fooling somebody with fig leaves. Cast it down. Yeah, the Lord just wants to cover you. Hallelujah. Oh, I bless you in the name of Jesus. If that's you and you know it's you, come and we'll pray with you. Father, we bless you. We give you glory. Rashe, we love you. Bring that up for me, Chuck. In the name of Jesus, we bless you. And I'm telling you, as we partner with your faith today, those struggles will not find you again. Yeah. Hallelujah. I feel it. Fear won't find you anymore. My God. Osha, we love you, Father. That's it. Something's happening. Come on. Rashe, we love you, Father.